morning, and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll discuss a nuclear arms freeze, protecting the future of mankind. I'm Jones Ziemba for George Mason University. The shelving of the SALT II talks, coupled with the current administration's discussions of successfully conducting a limited nuclear war, has frightened the American public as well as the Soviets. Thousands of laborers, businessmen, students, housewives, and congressmen are supporting a rapidly growing grassroots nuclear freeze movement. Supervisors and councils of cities in New England, the Midwest, and in Loudoun County, Virginia, have adopted nuclear freeze resolutions. Republicans and Democrats, physicians, scientists, and religious leaders feel that the arms race is out of control. All parties are making recommendations for a nuclear freeze.
Last night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war.
What must be done to prevent a nuclear war? And is a nuclear freeze enough? With us today to discuss these issues are Susan Schmidt, an Annandale mother of two and a member of the board of directors for the Northern Virginia Coalition for a Nuclear Freeze, and William Langford, a professor of physics at George Mason University. Bill, this is Ground Zero Week, a week for nuclear awareness. What are the concerns of the Ground Zero organization?
Ground Zero takes its name from the spot directly under a thermonuclear explosion. It's the name that Roger Moorlander chose for a week of public education for the American people on this issue of nuclear war. Moorlander was a member of the National Security Council under Presidents Nixon, Ford, and Carter. He finally decided that he could work more effectively for the prevention of nuclear war outside the council. He resigned and sought foundation support for a campaign of public information on what nuclear war would mean for Americans. He got $100,000 primarily from the Rockefeller Foundation, and rented an impressive office suite just two blocks from the White House, collected a staff, and has begun a nationwide effort in towns and cities around the country to bring the issue of nuclear war to the American consciousness. He's discovered that while he worked at the White House, there was a woeful ignorance, even within the White House, but particularly among the American people, as to what nuclear war would mean. It's a nonpartisan, non-focused attempt to teach the American public what nuclear war would mean.
Well, we've been living with the threat of nuclear war for a number of years now. What's the interest now in nuclear arms freeze?
There are several things that have happened in the last few years, or even in the last few months, that have raised people's concern and I think made them quite receptive to the approach that Ground Zero attempts to bring to us. We might look at the technical concerns first. The new round of weapons buildup that our administration is promoting increases our first strike capability to an extent that we haven't seen in recent years. The new missiles will be more accurate. There will be more missiles in a forward basing mode. For example, the Pershing 2s in Europe are only 4 to 6 minutes away from Russia. The Soviet response to this has been to at least discuss the idea of a launch-on-warning system, which means that they recognize that there isn't time to verify a possible nuclear attack, and so they will be programming their computers to launch their missiles automatically when they're triggered by a warning signal. Mm-hmm. This so-called hair-trigger reaction has certainly frightened a lot of people, both in this country and in Europe, to a heightened level of concern. In the longer run, missiles such as the air-launched cruise missile are so small that they'd be virtually unverifiable. And with that missile in place, it would be awfully difficult to develop an arms limitation treaty or proposal that the Russians could believe, since there wouldn't be any way for them to count the missiles that we have hidden in our planes that could be brought to bear very quickly on their country. These are perhaps technical concerns. They're political ones as well.
Well, the president was also just recently advised against the first attack.
Robert McNamara and several of his contemporaries made statements recently saying that they opposed adopting the first strike as a part of our foreign policy. They felt it was not appropriate and not needed. And that has focused our attention on the reality of this first strike approach that our administration seems to be committed to.
What about some of the other political implications?
The concern for a limited nuclear war has galvanized the Europeans to realize that if we were to fight a nuclear war, it could well be fought on their home country. This has increased not only the awareness throughout Europe, but in the United States. Whereas in the past, European leadership at least has welcomed the American nuclear umbrella as a way to protect their homeland. A second concern deals with the question of survivability of a nuclear war. When American leaders say that if we have only 60 million U.S. casualties as a result of a limited nuclear war, that could be considered a victory for us, many Americans want to ask, what could be worth such a price that the American people would be called upon to pay?
Susan, what is the freeze now resolution?
The freeze now resolution, which is before Congress in the House and the Senate, is a resolution that asks Brezhnev and Reagan for a freeze of testing, production, and deployment of nuclear weapons. It is bilateral and verifiable. Right now, the support for such a resolution is, there are 23 senators co-sponsoring it and 130 members in the House of Representatives. There's, of course, nationwide support. Almost every state in the Union has people working for a nuclear weapons freeze. A lot of press has been given to the Vermont towns who voted for a freeze. 159 out of 180 Vermont towns voted for a freeze. More locally, we have Montgomery County Council has voted to support this kind of freeze, and Loudoun County, Baltimore City. There is a lot of work and a lot of programs in various churches and groups around Northern Virginia that are part of the Northern Virginia Coalition for Nuclear Weapons Freeze. And people will probably find in their newspapers, especially in Ground Zero Week, various programs where they can attend, hear speakers of note, see films, and learn more for themselves.
I think probably the major argument from many people that are in opposition to a nuclear freeze is that it would make our country more vulnerable to a nuclear attack, or that it would be more difficult to be able to monitor if the Russians are participating in the freeze. How realistic is that argument in terms of the nuclear freeze program or the Ground Zero programs?
Well, certainly that is an important question, and that is the question that was addressed in President Reagan's press conference last week. In along those lines, with that kind of thinking, another freeze resolution has come into the Senate, the Jackson-Warner resolution, which assumes that we do not have parity with the Russians in terms of our weapons and that we need to have parity before we freeze. The Freeze Now resolution believes that we do have parity. We have not got exactly equal everything that they've got, but we have more warheads and they have more megatons. We have more flexibility. We have NATO on our side and they have only themselves. Every country who possesses nuclear weapons is an ally of the United States and an enemy of Russia, which certainly puts them in a vulnerable, nervous position. So I believe that the Freeze Now resolution really is the one to follow. And if we continue trying to increase our weapons to have what Reagan and Jackson and Warner feel is parity, we're just continuing the arms race as we have and in continuing the dangers that go along with the arms race.
According to Tip O'Neill, we have, between the United States and the Soviet Union, we've amassed something like 50,000 nuclear weapons, where it would only take 4,000 to totally destroy the world. The buildup, you had mentioned before, the types of weapons that are being built up. Does it have to be a match for match, or are there, Bill, perhaps with your physics background, you could address this more appropriately?
I think that's a very good question. We have been thinking about armaments for many years in conventional terms, where soldiers against soldiers and tanks against tanks are important from the numbers perspective. In nuclear weapons, when we reach the massive levels of overkill that we have achieved, it doesn't really make much difference whether we make the rubble bounce twice or whether the Russians make the rubble bounce once or twice. The overkill is so great that even if they had a few more, or if they were larger, which they are, the deterrent theory still is a very viable theory.
I think it's important to remember that the a bilateral, verifiable freeze of testing, production, and deployment of nuclear weapons that would come right now, if we had it right now, there would still be deterrence. We would still have our weapons operable, and they would still have their weapons operable. And some people feel deterrence is a way of life. Those people could still support a nuclear weapons freeze. A freeze would also free funds for other kinds of defense for people who are big defense spenders. I myself feel the freeze is the beginning of disarmament and the beginning of the end of nuclear weapons being possessed by either side, but that is not the freeze position. The freeze position is just to stop where you are.
The Ground Zero effort is an attempt to bring a program of public education across the country. At George Mason University, there'll be a series of film slideshows and speakers during Ground Zero Week. If anyone would like to get more information on these programs, or perhaps get information on how one could attend them, the number to call is 323-2000, the information desk at George Mason.
If people would like to participate in freeze activities, the number to call in Northern Virginia is 451-5857.
Thank you, Susan Schmidt and Bill Langford, for being with us today. I'd like to close the show with a reminder from Republican Senator Charles Mathias of Maryland, who's called upon the President to immediately arrange negotiations with the Soviets on nuclear arms limitations. Nothing less than the future of mankind is at stake. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Joan Ziemba for the State University in Northern Virginia.
Well, the sun came shining, and I was strolling. The wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling. The fog was lifting, a voice was chanting. This land was made for you and me.
This land is made.